Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 28th, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be across this great land of ours. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, Friday night, Saturday morning version now. We will continue in the next hour with predictions, as we will Monday. So relax if yours is not in yet. This hour, a kind of a surprise visit from Linda Moulton Howe, who's going to be talking about two critically important stories with news for you. One, whatever it is under the water, almost half a mile under the water in Cuba. And the other item is really interesting as well, and that's the Lancet study on life after death. You remember my interview with Pam Reynolds, right? Well, Linda's got some information that just might bolster that whole concept. So it's going to be an extremely interesting hour. Coming up in a few moments, Linda Moulton Howe. Well, the story that was broken nationally here on this program now continues as Linda Moulton Howe, our science reporter, our environmental documentary winner, a reporter on this program, gosh, for years and years now, broke on the show months and months ago regarding what seems to be off the coast of Cuba and about a half mile below the water, impossibly a half mile below the water. And then a further report on the Lancet article, the amazing, amazing Lancet article on the possibility of some sort of life after death, some sort of consciousness that appears separate from brain function. It's all very fascinating, and here with the beginning of it is Linda Moulton Howe from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Art. Well, you know, this past May, Reuters News Service first carried an international story about the first hints of a discovery of unusual structures at 2,200 feet below Cuba's western tip.
Right.
And the ocean engineer who found those structures is Paulina Zelitsky, who is a partner with her husband, Paul Weinzweig, in a Canadian company called Advanced Digital Communications, or ADC, that has offices in both Victoria, British Columbia, and Havana, Cuba. Their specialty is deep ocean exploration. And Paulina told Reuters this past spring that she had high-resolution side-scan sonar images of, quote, a huge land plateau with clear images of what appears to be man-made, large-size architectural designs partly covered by sand. From above, the shapes resemble pyramids, roads, and buildings, unquote.
Right.
And if you go to my website, earthfiles.com, right now, the top headline, and also the top headline in Science, has one of those actual side-scan sonar images right now of that exact description. And I talked with Paulina about it. As you look at it, it is without doubt, to me, I've seen a lot of side-scan now in the past year working on this story.
Right.
This is the first time that I've had a chance to see one of her original Exploramar side scan, and you have to admit when you look at it that you're looking at a lot of 90 degree angles in what look like structures. So that is there, and
that is your own assessment.
Earth, well, as you look at that image, and so does she, and so does the story as we unfold this further, that there are more things besides this side scan, but
okay,
it's the first time in seeing it. You are looking that add an image that sort of reinforces what she had originally said in the spring. Now, on December 21st, a few days ago, one of those sonar images was released by the Prensa Latina Press in Cuba. The article was entitled, Geology or Archaeology, Which Is It?, referring to the structures in the sonar images.
Mm-hmm.
This article described Paulina Zelitsky's efforts over the past year to get sonar and videotape images by a remotely operated vehicle known as an ROV. Prensa Latina also interviewed Dr. Gabino La Rosa. He's an archaeologist with the Cuban Natural Museum of Sciences who has been studying the ADC sonar and videotape images taken this July. And in this latest article, he suggests that the megalithic structures could be natural rock or natural rock used for construction by an intelligent civilization or artificial structures created by intelligence. But only 1 week before this article, another controversial story had appeared on December 14th in Prensa Latina and on the Internet, which announced that archaeologist Dr. Gabino La Rosa calls for prudence, this was the word used, about possible discovery of a submerged city in the western waters of Cuba. The article's implication was that this might not be much of a discovery of this now famous megalithic underwater site, and that set off a small firestorm of protest on that island, including scientists at the museum. Now, here is Paulina Zielitzky a couple of days ago talking to me about both the controversy of what Prensa Latina did and what the current status is now of her own research.
Okay.
But this article was written by a person who never met or spoke to any of the people involved, to any of the scientists involved. So this person, I believe it's a woman, she called me later on after a big apologize. This person didn't have real access to any of information. She just reinterpreted it herself as she wanted.
Yeah. And that's why Dr. La Rosa got so upset.
And Dr. La Rosa got upset, and other people apparently were upset as well, you know, because they asked Prensa Latina to reconsider.
Did Dr. Gambino La Rosa, has he seen the videotape that you have showing one of the stones that appear to have the carved ovals in them?
Yes, he did. He studied videotapes.
And what was his reaction?
It appears to him that they're artificial because they're completely smooth, flattened and smooth and constructed in different shapes, and they're blocks over the blocks. If nature done something like that, it could have been, but it's hard to explain how nature would work this way. Plus, the inscriptions that he apparently sees, it's hard to read them because of the visibility is poor under the water. At this depth, it's always cool. And we have a lot of currents, so it's hard to read them. And we need additional investigations in order to take many more data.
Right, and I was curious if he could see the cross oval, the ovals of the cross that we had talked about.
Yes, actually, Cuban television now broadcasting. They are showing and describing cross.
Now, did they have videotape from you to show?
Plus sonar data, videotape and sonar data, yes. It's a side-scan sonar of high resolution, like video, but made acoustically.
But have you then released some of that July 2001 videotape for broadcast?
Academy of Sciences asked for few photographs, few pictures that I had to release. But, of course, I selected those pictures that present the evidence.
In the Prensa Latina, December 21st, by Manuel Vasquez, there is an image. It says that this is from the original in the year 2000 underwater.
Yeah. Could you? Yes, that's correct. That's one of the images. We have, of course, many of those images. And the Museum of Natural Sciences published a number of those images. And Museum of Natural Sciences is alleging that it is impossible to explain by nature, naturally, how these structures could be aligned such way.
It definitely looks like a street between buildings, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And the one of you sitting at the computer, what is the image on the computer?
Oh, that is the image of one of the pyramidal shapes.
Was this taken in 2000 or 2001?
It's taken in 2001 because this is video. Video was taken in 2001 and solar images were taken in 2000.
Okay. Wow. So the pyramid is a video frame.
Yes, the pyramid is video frame. But what is very important is to point out that we haven't made a definite conclusion because we don't have sufficient data.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of hypotheses. And very strong hypothesis, one of the hypotheses that is very strong in our opinion is that these structures are natural but reshaped and accommodated by intelligent beings.
Dr. LaRosa himself feels that he's looking at data that certainly suggests artificial structure.
Yes, he does, because granite is not natural to the area.
And granite has definitely been confirmed?
Well, it's a right. We couldn't take this sample. Because to take this sample, you have to drill into granite. And it's very difficult. But we are building a robot that is walking on the bottom. And this robot will have all stability required in order to drill for samples, in order to cut, in order to remove. It will be first in the world robot that is built for deep water archaeology. All kinds of difficult, hard tasks for deep water archaeology. Robot is designed to work at the depth of 2,000 meters.
This is exciting. And if I understood, you mean it will be mechanically able to sort of roll along the bottom where these structures are?
Actually, it will walk as insect. It looks like insect, as a scorpion, because it has manipulator 10 meter long.
And at the end, is there a camera as well as the ability to drill?
Yes, at the end there is a camera and lights. And there are there are three cameras on this robot and many lights. And it has ability to drill, to cut, to remove, to excavate.
And when will this robot be placed down at the site, do you think?
This summer.
And will National Geographic be involved at all?
Well, they expressed their interest for many years now, partner with us in this project. But there are some governmental and political complications.
Mm.
You have to remember that we're in Cuba. We're working in Cuban territorial waters.
So right now, you and your husband and your company, ABC, will be the sole controllers and distributors of the information?
Yes, because we're a Canadian company who's working under license, under legal license in Cuba. We're working jointly with numerous Cuban organizations.
Finally, is ABC working with any other companies in any other countries to help finance all of this exploration?
Nobody is helping us to finance. No institutions are helping us to finance. It's completely private initiative. It's very difficult. But we will welcome any private or institutional groups to participate with us if they can contribute. The thing is, we need them to contribute. We don't just want free passengers, you know.
Right.
We have very hard time to get financing and to provide equipment and knowledge for our expedition. So those that want to participate with us would need to contribute as well.
Now, if, for anybody listening who may be interested or know someone who might be in communicating with ADC about shares or partnership in this very interesting deep underwater research of the megalithic structures off the western tip of Cuba, Paulina Zelitsky and Paul Weinzweig have provided this address and fax number for communication. You can also read this at earthfiles.com, my top headline story that includes also a map and the photograph of Paulina sitting at her computer with the pyramidal object. And tomorrow, perhaps, Art, if all goes well, I'd hope for tonight, but I may have some other images that I will be posting with this story that I might be getting that the scientists at the museum in Cuba have been examining.
Well, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
It's like a Mars lunar rover, what
yes.
she's talking about, to go down to this city.
That's exactly right. That's what went into my mind when I said this is exciting, because the idea that they could be able to be rolling around among the structures that you can see in the side scan sonar image that I've got right now will be really something. And because they are trying to do this now themselves, because of all of the legal complexities that they have run into, in trying to put together all of the, they tried originally exclusive deals with some companies, and there's legal problems between Cuba and some of the work that they were trying in the United States.
You know, Linda, I'm looking at these side scans right now. By God, it does look like a city.
Isn't that something?
It looks like streets.
it really is something.
It looks like buildings. That is the way you would describe it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they can be reached.
Wow.
For people now, take your pen, your pencil,
sure,
and write this down, because this could be important
Go
for
ahead.
Anybody out there who could seriously help.
Okay.
ADC 242 Villa Tarara, T-A-R-A-R-A. The next line is Tarara, repeated. The next line is Habana del Este, which is Habana del Este. And then finally, Havana, Cuba. And their fax number is 537-971-690. And you have to go through operators to make those kinds of calls to Cuba.
Well, I think that's the problem with this whole thing, is that of all places for this to be, Cuba. Oh, boy. You know, it could have been almost anywhere else, and we'd know so much more now, but because it is Cuba and because we are the U.S.,
there was this problem.
This big problem.
But they really, really want the science of this to be emphasized, and they are working with scientists, even some in U.S. universities privately, and I really think, Art, this has the potential to be a really big story if they can get this robot down there working.
Oh, a monster. That really is extremely exciting.
And
so
after the break, we will go to another area that's equally exciting, but
sure
in a
is.
Completely different element.
Yeah, sure is. Life after death, and the story in Lancet. That's what we're going to talk about. Linda's got another interview for you on that subject, and after interviewing Pam Reynolds, that subject is so dear and close to my heart that I'm pretty curious, very curious, actually, what they've got to say. And by the way, I've got a little kind of follow-up to the whole Lancet thing myself. A very interesting fact about the 18%, I think, who had the a near-death experience, or you could call it the death experience. There's an odd fact about that 18% that I just learned today. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
You shouldn't worry, after that ain't no crime.
to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
I don't know if you've seen these side-scan sonar photos or renderings, but it sure does look like a city. It looks like buildings and streets. And it's the first time I've seen what was described. All right, we're going to move on now. Remember the fascinating interview with Pam Reynolds. Pam Reynolds, who died. No brain waves, no neural activity, no blood in her body, no life. She was dead. They did it to clip an aneurysm. It was a remarkable interview, remarkable. She accounted for the entire hour she was out and gone. Well, The Lancet released an article just about the same time, and Linda Moulton Howe, coincidentally, truly it is coincidentally, happens to have an interview with somebody on that subject. It is fascinating, and she'll have that in a moment. Now, once again, with some pretty interesting stuff coming up here, it is from Philadelphia, Linda Moulton Howe. Linda,
thanks, Art. Well, that December 15th article you were referencing in the Lancet Medical Journal was entitled, quote, Near-Death Experience in Survivors of Cardiac Arrest. The authors are Dutch cardiologists led by Dr. Pim van Lommel in the Division of Cardiology at the Hospital Rinstad in Arnhem, the Netherlands. Dr. van Lommel has been a cardiologist for 25 years. He and his colleagues began their article with this statement, quote, some people report a near-death experience known as an NDE after a life-threatening crisis. We aim to establish the cause of this experience and assess factors that affected its frequency, depth, and content, unquote. For 12 years, Dr. van Lommel and his team studied 344 patients
right.
who had cardiac arrests and were successfully resuscitated in 10 Dutch hospitals. Of those 344, 18% reported a near-death experience. The researchers concluded, quote, occurrence of the experience was not associated with duration of cardiac arrest or unconsciousness, medication, or fear of death before cardiac arrest, unquote.
Okay.
And further, in a surprisingly firm conclusion, Dr. van Lommel wrote, quote, our results show that medical factors can not account for occurrence of NDEs. Although all patients had been clinically dead, most did not have NDE. Furthermore, seriousness of the crisis was not related to occurrence or depth of the experience.
Huh.
If purely physiological factors resulting from cerebral anoxia, which would be lack of blood and oxygen, caused NDE, most of our patients should have had this experience because they all suffered cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Patients' medication was also unrelated to the frequency of NDE, unquote.
Huh.
Now, one of the most extraordinary cases studied was a 43-year-old man who had cardiac arrest on a street, and here is Dr. van Lommel to explain what happened.
Fell over on the street.
When he was admitted in the hospital, they had been doing CPR for more than half an hour.
Wow.
He was deeply unconscious and cyanotic when he was admitted in the hospital. And he was in very bad shape. He had no blood pressure, no heartbeat. And so they were performing CPR. And after 1.5 hours in the hospital, at last they had blood pressure and heartbeat, that there was brain damage. So there was no spontaneous respiration, so they had to intubate him. And when the nurse tried to intubate him, he had to remove the dental prosthesis
yes.
and put it on the crash car. And the patient had to be on artificial respiration for more than 1 week in the ICU. And then he came back to the cardiac ward, and the first time that the nurse entered his room for giving medication, the patient recognized the nurse and said, oh, you was the one who was there when I was admitted in the hospital, and you took out my dental prosthesis to intubate me. And he could describe exactly what doctors were there, how they looked like, what the room was looked like. And the nurse was so upset because he'd never heard of an NDE before. So he rang us, and we explained him, and then we asked him to write down everything what had happened.
And what is doing the perceiving, since it's not an active brain, eye, ear system?
Exactly. That means that when there is no activity in the brain, let's say a flat EEG, and people can still have a full consciousness with cognition, with emotion, with memories from their youth, or for the possibility of perceiving, then it means that it must be something that can be received by your brain. So there is something out of your body which you can receive in your body by your brain.
Do you think that that is indirect proof of a soul spirit?
No, I never use that word because everybody has his own ideas about it. So I never use the word mind or spirit or soul because I think it's very hard to know what somebody else means. So I was talking about consciousness and memories or self-identity.
What you're saying is that the concept of soul and spirit almost becomes political because of different religious interpretations of them.
Exactly. Everybody has his own idea about it, and nobody knows what somebody else thinks about it.
And yet, something is perceiving the details of a room, people, and those false teeth. What is doing the perceiving?
So that is your consciousness, is your identity. And with your memories. Hmm. And you can give it a name, but I won't. You can call it mind or so, but I won't, because somebody else thinks perhaps something different about it.
Your bottom line from doing this research is that you have at least, in 18% of the cases of the more than 300 cardiac patients that you studied, 18% have some kind of recollection of something happening during a period of time in which they were clinically dead for a period.
What we didn't know was there always have been theories about it, that it just is a physiological reaction of anoxia of the brain, so a lack of oxygen, or that it is some chemical reaction of endomorphins, or it is a psychological reaction to death, or it is medication. And that's what we did in this first prospective study, to look if there were, could be any explanation of having an NDE. And when you look to the two groups of patients, the 18% who did report some form of memory and the 82% who didn't, there is no difference in medical, psychological, physiological, or pharmacological things. It's all the same.
So in a way, you were trying to control for the very arguments that have been made in the past that it was a chemical or some other kind of explanation. But then it seems that we are left with an even greater question. Why is it that of these 300-some patients that only 18% had a near-death experience?
Exactly. I don't know. But the only thing we can know is that when it should be a physiological reaction, so due to a lack of oxygen to the brain, then when you have a cardiac arrest, you have no blood pressure, there's no oxygen going to the brain, you lose your consciousness. And your breathing stops, and your reflexes stops, and everything stops. And then you have an 80% of people in such a situation who have full consciousness. So that's a mystery.
Another interesting part of your study was the finding that after 2 years, there seemed to be a transformation in these the 18% who had the NDE memories. There was a transformation in their relationship to their life and other people and the world around them, and that by 8 years, if I read your data correctly, the NDE actually had an even more increased impact of change, transformation of thought on people after 8 years.
And the main thing is that the life inside changes and the fear of death disappears.
When you talk with that group, do you get any insights from them about why they themselves feel that some sort of philosophical, spiritual transformation continues to increase 8 years after an NDE?
Well, it's the process of that. First of all, they cannot talk about it. They are neglected or laughed at by doctors and nurses and family. And what I write is that individuals, there's a society negative response to NDE, which leads individuals to deny or suppress their experience for fear of rejection or ridicule. And so they cannot talk about it. At last, when they trust somebody or find somebody who is open, then they can talk about it. And then the integration starts of their changed inside of losing the fear of death. And what is important in life, especially those people who had a panoramic life review.
And in those panoramic life reviews, what has impressed you about them?
Well, that is that all thoughts and words and deeds have been kept somewhere, and that you again feel what happened when you did something or thought something, and that you feel the emotions of the other person who was involved. So you feel the emotions of somebody else, or when you gave love or just neglected him as well, and you feel that, and that it gives you insight in what you did and what was the emotional effect on somebody else.
Now, it is I would think in a civilization in which there have been many religions who
mm-hmm.
have evolved over the last several thousand years,
yeah.
about the moment of death and a transition of consciousness
yes.
to God in heaven or Allah in heaven or whatever
mm-hmm.
the word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is the religious context for most of the people on the planet.
Yes.
Why would anyone then describing a near-death experience ever be treated with ridicule or disbelief?
Because they're trying to explain for something the experience there are no words for, and they are talking about meeting deceased relatives, they're talking about celestial landscape, they're mm-hmm. talking about a being of light, and a lot of people don't want to hear it.
They want to hear it?
Because they say it's impossible. You have had some hallucination, or it was the effect of medication, or calm down, etc. So they cannot express what they want about their experience because they cannot talk about it. Also in Holland, our churches are very conservative, and the people who ever dared to talk about it were not welcome anymore in the church.
But you can see why this is not only ironic, but contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
If the church talks about praying and going to heaven upon death, why would there be any ridicule of people who described exactly such a process?
Because it's for them, it's not a matter of belief, but a matter of knowing.
The NDE experiencer.
Yes. They say death is... But to our surprise, that was not that. I was there still. So, and that's a lot of people going to church say that you cannot say that. In the Bible, something different.
But isn't that why people are in church? To survive death and go to heaven?
I think perhaps to believe, but not to know. But I know, but I if you ever talk to people with an NDE, and you always, wherever you talk to them, also I know Ken Ring as well, and when he talked to people, and we have it here, I've talked to hundreds of NDEs, you always have the same problem that the people know by size it is not proven that there's something possible else or beyond the body. So they neglect it, ignore it, and say it's not proven. But it is not what you can prove as a medical doctor. I don't know. But what they say, exactly what you say. That's what they know. they obviously, I don't believe in, let's say, life after death, but I know there is some continuity of me which survives my body.
And why is that memory only in 18% of the patients that you studied?
I don't know. I don't know. I can always say, why is there... There are still a lot of people who don't have an experience, but it is, for me, it's even a wonder that it happens, and I cannot explain it. It's a miracle. I mean, it's a miracle that it happens because I cannot explain it.
And Art, he tried to get funding for this. Over 12 years... Dr. Von Lommel and all of the people who worked on this extremely important research ended up having to do it all as a labor of love.
Really?
Because they could not get any funding.
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
I mean, you would think the churches would be funding the heck out of that.
Yes. Why is it, as he points out, that there could be anything about near-death experiences that would give any church any problem whatsoever, and yet...
I don't know. Let's ask the audience. Anybody out there have comments? I'd like an answer to that one myself.
Yes.
Listen, one addition to all of this, Linda. I'm reading here, an article about the same report. In this one it says, medical explanations cannot account for near-death experiences according to the results of the biggest prospective study to date of patients who were resuscitated after clinical death. However, patients who reported an NDE were more likely to die soon afterwards.
Yes, this was one of the more remarkable and not understood aspects, because it's a very big, complicated...
Well, they understand
study.
A little bit of it. They think that perhaps it's because they're no longer afraid to die.
Well, this is exactly... This was a part of our discussion. Dr. Von Lommel and I talked for an hour, and part of the discussion was about this, that within 30 days, the people who had the deepest, or the what they call the... deepest core experience of an NDE were the ones who had the greatest increase in death within 30 days of having the experience. And when I asked him why, he said he thinks it's because those are people who could let go the easiest because they had
right.
no fear of dying.
Oh, this is incredible. This is this whole thing, the interview with Pam Reynolds, what you're reporting on, all of it, I think we're moving toward identification scientifically of something separate from brain function.
Well, this story, when you read the whole Lancet article, which I have, and when you read that sentence, our results show that medical factors cannot account for occurrence of NDE. That is a surprisingly firm statement in a journal, a medical journal, The Lancet. Now, if you can't come up with medical factors, you are into the area of what has been called transcendence. And transcendence is that description that people have of being out of their body, looking down, seeing bodies, being able to describe tubes, describe corners, describe where that man put his, watched his false teeth be put.
Well, he doesn't want to use the word soul or spirit.
That's right.
But
they use transcendence.
We all know what they're talking about. Okay, Linda, wonderful report. Information quickly.
Yes, I welcome questions and comments to me at my email, earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And also my website, www.earthfiles.com, has the Cuba story. We'll have this report on near-death experiences, and there's a whole lot more there in science, medicine, the environment, and real X-Files.
All right. Wonderful pair of reports. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you, Art.
And good night. All right, that's Linda Moulton Howe. Isn't that incredible? The fellow remembered the lady who removed his false teeth and where she put them and all the rest of it. This while he is dead as a doornail, and they were working on him for an hour and a half trying to get any sort of signs of life. An hour and a half. This was at room temperature. These are astounding stories. And, you know, the most interesting question right now, aside from the big one, to me, is how come the churches, plural, are disinterested in all of this. They should be jumping on it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001. Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 28, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. Well, those were two amazing reports from Linda Moulton Howe. The images that you're looking for are on her website at earthfiles.com. And I don't know whether we've got a link up, but it's earthfiles.com. And they are amazing. They look like cities. I understand it's a side-scan sonar. But still, God, look at those photos. Those images. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And the writing and the video and all the rest of it. And now they're going to send a robot down. This is getting pretty good. And then you listen to the second interview with the doctor. Now, why don't we do that kind of research here anymore? Anybody out there wonder about that? How come we're not doing that kind of research here? We have Pam Reynolds' story, but nobody's digging into it. I mean, it's only the biggest question in all of life. In all of life, it's the biggest question. I mean, we're all here for, you know, a relatively very short time indeed. And so, you know, is there anything afterwards or the big blackness? Well, there's mounting serious scientific evidence that there is something there. Even I am impressed. I'm not easy to impress in this arena. Believe me, I have doubts. I've had doubts all my life. I still have a few, but it's closing in on me. And it must be on you, too. How can you listen to all of this without realizing there is something separate from brain function? Some consciousness, awareness, understanding, emotion, all the things that we call consciousness and we define as ourselves, that there is something separate from our brain function. Now, you call it what you want. I don't blame the doctor for not wanting to say soul or spirit. You know, but that was a damn good report. And glad Linda was able to get it on the air. We've all, I think a lot of you have read about it, but hearing, you know, the doctor who did this was pretty cool. So, two big stories a-brewing, and in the middle of all this, we are doing predictions for next year. Now, I will recite to you some of the rest. I have more predictions that were made, and I will read some of them, and the bonk factor and the ones coming up, I sense psychically, is going to be rather high. Actually, I know it is. Because I read them. So in a few moments, we'll give you some of those, and then we'll begin taking predictions and comments, by the way, if you wish, on the Cuban City, a half mile I shouldn't call it a Cuban city, on the city off the coast of Cuba, a half mile underwater, and or Linda's incredible report from the article in Lancet on whatever is separate from our brains. All of that coming up. Well, just a couple of items before we go to the phones. Very quickly, China would appear to be moving troops now to try and defuse the crisis between India and Pakistan. They're actually moving troops along the Sino-Indian border. Now, that's an interesting move. What is China about to do? What would China, you know, if there began a conflict, what would China do? Would they go in there and start shooting at both sides? What would they do with their troops? Is getting China involved in this, even in some, you know, supposedly a peacemaking way, is it really a good idea for China to be sending troops to their border? Doesn't it further inflame the whole thing? So that puts three nuclear powers in some sort of contention over there. Really strange times, and no wonder we're getting the predictions we are, huh? I thought really hard about that today. Anyway, China trying to intercede, but they're doing it with military troops. Boy. President Bush said Friday the U.S. military will not quit the search for Osama bin Laden. I understand there's quite a bit of political pressure from the new Afghan government that the U.S. get its butt out of country. Stop the bombing. And we're saying, no. We're going to keep up. We're going to keep looking for Osama, and we're going to get him. And they're saying, well, yeah, but you've got most of the al-Qaeda troops. You've broken the back of al-Qaeda. You know, really, why don't you stop the bombing? And we're saying, well, no, we're really not going to do that until we get Osama, and I'm sure we're not going to stop the bombing and stop the cave-to-cave searches and all the rest of it until we get his butt. Looks like the president is committed to do that, and I hope he stays committed to do that and doesn't give in to any political pressure. The kidnapped 16-month-old girl back with mom now. That's almost a miracle. Buffalo is under, oh my God, Buffalo. Nearly 7 feet of snow now in Buffalo, and more on the way. Did you hear me? 7 feet of snow, my God. Buffalo does get a lot of snow, but this is over the top for Buffalo for sure. Now, if you'll go to my website, one of my listeners, we have a lot of listeners in Buffalo, New York. In fact, that's probably about all they have to do right now. Please listen to this program and others like it, right? I imagine that's all they can do. If you'll go to What's New and click on Snow in Buffalo, Ken Spruch, S-P-R-U-C-H, sent us a couple of photographs that he just took there in Buffalo. I would presume of one of a stop sign and the other of his house and his car. And his car looks like it's in a snow tunnel. So that's what's going on in Buffalo right now. 7 feet of snow. Man, that's a lot of snow. I remember, I'm sure you do, when you were a kid, if you lived in snow country, and I did. 18 inches, even 30 inches of snow was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I mean, that was a major big storm. Try and picture in your mind 7 feet of snow. That's way over the top. Take a look at the photographs and then imagine 7 feet of snow. And I guess the forecast is not that great. So the governor has ordered troops there to assist very weary plow crews. I don't know how they're even beginning to plow there. These are amazing photographs, and what they're going, it'd be fun to talk to somebody from Buffalo, see if you can get through about how it's going. Man, that's a lot of snow. I have never experienced that much snow, and I've lived in snow country all over, in Alaska, in the northeast part of the country, but 7 feet. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to talk about a near-death experience.
Oh, you had one?
Yes, and what happened was I was in the hospital, a young man, for appendicitis, and stamped all over my chart in red was allergic to penicillin,
uh-huh.
And a foreign intern came in. He was supposed to go to the room across the hall, came into my room and gave me a million units of penicillin.
Oh, man, away you went.
And away I went.
Yep.
And I went through the tunnel, you know, the old story of going through the tunnel through the light.
Did you, just for the record, sir,
mm-hmm.
did you experience clinical death, you know, the heart stops,
yes.
breathing stops?
Yes, the whole.
Okay.
And the interesting thing was about it, I knew I was dead.
You knew it?
I knew it.
How?
You know, normally when you, these may be crazy explanations, but... you know when you normally live on a trip, you wonder, did you turn off the electricity? Did you do this? Did you do that?
Sure.
You worry about your relatives, about every little conceivable thing?
Yes.
No worries. I was assured by this inner voice that everything was going to be all right, that they were going to be taken care of, that I didn't have to worry about them.
Did you see relatives? Did you see beings
yes.
of light?
But people... But the interesting thing about the light was that normally if you were to shine a bright light on you, it reflects.
Yes.
This light didn't reflect. It went through you.
Huh.
And the light was at first beams of pure white and then blue and then every color of the rainbow. And you felt love like you've never known love before. You were welcomed like you were welcomed home into a family. And everything on the other side... was alive, and everything on this side was dead, seemed dead to you.
Huh.
And
yeah, in other words, as you look around you now,
mm-hmm.
you have what you consider life. You have colors, bursts of colors, and images, and sounds, and input, and everything that makes this world look so colorful and beautiful. But I can understand what you're saying. On the other side, this looks like it's all grayed out. You know, or blacked out like death, and that appears to be the new reality with all the colors and the true
yeah.
meaning.
And the hardest thing is to, when you have a true spiritual experience, if that's what you want to call it, if you live to be 1,000, you'll never forget it, because you can go back to that time
yes.
and re-experience it.
Right.
But the interesting thing also was, it's hard to explain spiritual things in normal words, and I'll try to explain it. If you could take... a rose and put it into a tea kettle.
Right.
And then the steam coming out of that tea kettle now could reform that rose. You've seen steam come out of a tea kettle, how it vibrates or anything in front of it.
Yes.
Now that's how flowers looked on the other side. I mean, literally everything was vibrating with life. There was a vibration of life.
How do you feel about death now?
And no fear of it. No fear of it. I did before. Not exactly fear, but wondering. We all wonder what's going to happen on the other side.
We sure do.
But I also
saw people I didn't recognize. Sir, are you,
mm-hmm.
you saw people you didn't recognize?
I didn't know who they were. And when I came back, I could still see my little mother sitting, who's now in heaven now, but sitting in a chair. And then they brought me home after a certain period of time. And she showed me pictures of my great-great-grandfather, which I had never physically met or never saw a picture of him before. But I did on the other side.
Wow. Again. Did you ever then go and try and find pictures of him to compare?
He had pictures of him.
No, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But back here in life, sir,
mm-hmm.
did you ever then go and try and retrieve a photograph?
Yes.
Were you able to?
Yes.
Was it the same?
Absolutely the same person.
I don't know what to say to you.
But, you know, the greatest thing was I said, like I say, love. Love that you would never known physically or sexually or any other form of love on this side of the plane. There you are literally welcomed home. It's a party thrown for you.
I appreciate your story.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you. And,
can I tell you one other?
You may, yes. Uh-huh.
This is an interesting thing, and I hope, and I'm not saying these stories because they happened to me. God gives these to everybody, I honestly believe. But one time when I was, again, was a teenager, we went out on this vacation out in Big Lake Chautauqua. And the way that the place was arranged, you had a little lake where you went fishing, and then you had a main cottage, and you had all these little cottages around it.
Right.
And every night I would go out and walk at night through these big pine trees. And the owners had a dog named Spot, a coach dog, a very original name for a coach dog.
Yeah.
And this dog would follow me and would sit, when I sat down and meditated, and followed me around. And this went on for the whole 2 weeks we were there. And on the very last night, same routine, and I got up to the main cottage, and I held the door open, and I hear this voice, "What in the heck are you holding that door open for? You're letting the flies in." And I said, "For Spot." And they said, "Spot? Spot was killed by a truck this morning."
Oh, well, you've had, thank you very much, lots and lots of inexplicable experiences. You know, the one thing that bugs me is the majority of people don't have NDEs. Of 344, only 18% in that study. So that means the majority of people don't. So where do they go? You know, if these other people are going to the light and the tunnel and the relatives and even people you don't know, like that man just said, then where is the majority going? That's a very troublesome question. Where are they going? You know, while they're dead. Ever wonder if there might be an option when you die? In other words, some people get blackness, nothingness, and others get some sort of continuation of consciousness. Maybe that's the prize, you know? You've done well. You have continuation of consciousness. Maybe if you don't get a passing grade, 70, whatever, you get the blackness. And that would be the majority. Now that's something to think about. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Okay. First off, this is about next year.
A prediction?
Yes, a prediction.
It will be honored to be number 50, whatever it is, all right?
Okay, this is going to sound way out there. This isn't nuclear war or anything like that. This is worse. This is something from the movies, practically.
Okay.
The dead will return to life.
You mean that getting out of graves?
Yes, devouring the living. And I'm not the only one that believes this. I'm not on the research end. I'm more on the preparation end.
Did I hear you say they would devour the living?
Like
eat the living?
Yes.
That's Night of the Living Dead you're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking about here. There's prophecies going back. I'm not on the research end, but a lot of the prophecies, Aztecs, Egyptians, it all correlates.
Yeah.
Some people even believe that some of those films were put out there for almost like a warning by the creator.
Huh.
I know it sounds out there.
It sounds out there.
Yeah.
And you're predicting this will happen as soon as...
Yeah, the time frame.
Any minute now.
Actually, we're thinking more of mid to late next year.
That's pretty soon. That's nothing to look forward to. I saw Night of the Living Dead, and, you know, the living were bashing the dead in with shovels and picks and blasting them to smithereens with shotguns. Is it going to come down to that?
We don't know if they can be stopped or what, because obviously nothing like this has happened before. But
it's hard to kill the dead. It's really hard.
Well, this is not their souls. This isn't grandma or grandpa coming back to get you. This is just basically their shell, their body, I guess, as far as we can tell, that is.
Well, either way, it sounds bad. It sounds really bad to me.
Bad. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for adding to the list of cheer. My list, oh, cheer. Now, that'd be some night, wouldn't it? I mean, here we all are. This is one of the reasons I'm going to be cremated. I have no intent whatsoever of scratching my way out of the dirt, pushing my way past the worms with my bony flesh, a torn body, whatever is left of it, to get up and plague the living. That really, he's right about one thing. That's right out of the movies, and the movie was The Living Dead, and then several sequels after it. Night of the Living Dead, I believe, is actually the name of the movie. It was horrible. Horrible. Burn me, baby, burn me. That's what I say. Predicting All Night Long and anything else you want to do. Friday night, Saturday morning. That's what they're for.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
So I came into you, sweet lady. So when you missed it, cook out. Crystal ball on the table. Showing the future, the past. Same cat with them evil eyes. And I knew it was a spell she cast. She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil woman, she's gonna get you. She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil woman, she's gonna get you from behind. Get me the ring on your finger.
Clap of a hand, he has landed as an only son. His mother and father said, what a lovely boy. We'll teach him what we learned. Oh, yes, just what we learned. We'll dress him up warmly and we'll send him to school. It'll teach him how to fight for peace.
Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
Life is so cruel, isn't it? Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Well, the list, oh, cheer, continues. The last entry was the dead return to life and begin beating the crap out of us like in the movie. And, I've heard people say this and take things from the Bible to back it up with and all the rest of it. All I can say is it would be one lousy, miserable day. There's no doubt about it. Having to battle people clawing their way up out of the earth and all the rest of that sort of thing. Well, the list of predictions from last year, very quickly, this is going to make you feel better now because we're about to get a bunch of bonks. And frankly, y'all were doing pretty well up through number 27. Your hit rate was uncomfortably good, really good. So in view of some of the recent predictions, I hope your average falls, and this should help. Number 28, Art reveals he time traveled. Bonk. I have not revealed that I have time traveled. And if I had time traveled, do you think I would reveal it? For example, might I go back to a time when my back was better? Maybe I've done that. But have I revealed it? No. Number 29, end to boy band craze. Now, I don't know how to score this one. I don't think it's over, so I'm going to give it a bonk. I'm going to be tough on it. It may have changed a little, but it's not over. Number 30 is that there will be a race war, thankfully. Another bonk. Number 31, the U.S. takes over Western Canada. Well, we'll probably get around to it. We didn't do it yet, bonk. Cattle mutilations and mad cow disease are in some way connected. I can't say there's been any evidence of that. Bonk. Hurricane in Florida. A massive hurricane in Florida. Well, there was some trouble in Florida, but massive, really horrible. I'm giving it a bonk. Didn't happen. Three more crop circles appear in Montana. This one I'm not sure about. I'm going to give it a qualified ding. I believe they did. Mirror hits off Western Australia. Now, this one I'm going to give a ding to. No, I'm not. And then hits Barrier Reef. I forgot that part. It did not hit the Barrier Reef near, as we know, bonk. Let's see. George W. Bush not to be allowed to enter Canada. Bonk. Number 37. Chemtrail revelation this year. I'm going to have to bonk that because I'm in the tough mode. There's been more information on chemtrails, and they're as controversial as ever, but we have no admission of culpability for whatever those things are up there. So that was a pretty good bonk record there. They managed one ding out of a whole bunch, so they didn't do as well. And I'm glad, because the more the possibility of the Night of the Living Dead, the more disinterested I get in ever getting to such a day. So I hope you all are dead wrong about that. All right, let's go play in the shadows again, shall we? Who knows what awaits? We are taking official predictions as we go tonight. They will be officially after New Year's Eve, and I'm going to be here New Year's Eve. Traditionally, I am, and so shall be again this year. And we'll take the final predictions, and then they are sealed away for another year to embarrass you or make you heroic a year later. Here we go. First time caller line, you are on the air.
Is this Art Baby?
It is Art Baby, yes.
I'd like to change the mood right now.
Really?
Yeah, I want you to say cheese.
You don't have far to go to do that. Cheese?
Because I have a cheerful, very cheerful prediction.
Good. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, Yasha Arafat will be assassinated.
Yasser Arafat is going to take one between the eyes, huh?
Right. Eat your heart out. I'm calling from Waikiki.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Well.
Nice and warm here. Just lovely. Anyway, Art, I really enjoy listening to you, even though sometimes I think you're a nut.
Well, there's no question about it.
All these ghosts and
how many people are going to think that you are a bloodthirsty monster for thinking predicting such a thing? Which, frankly, in the way you presented it, sounded as much like a wish as a prediction.
You know something?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't give a damn.
Well, I sense that, ma'am. All right. Thank you very much.
All righty,
and
bye.
Just go bask in the sun or something. Waikiki. We've got to go to we've got to get back to the islands. It's been so many years, and I would really like to go back. I'd like to go back to Maui. I lived there for a while, and Maui is astounding. You know, and unless it has changed now. And there's fast food joints all the way down these desolate areas of Maui that they're not desolate. Desolate is the wrong word. Tropical paradise roads. Oh, I had some good times on Maui. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, Linda Moultonhow's interview on NDEs tonight was exceptionally interesting.
Yes, it was.
I noticed that she was kind of befuddled as to how many religious people could not allow for an...
Oh, I am too.
Well, I can tell you why. There's a lot of groups. You know, there are Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes.
Among them who
yes.
believe that, you know, that according to that one scripture they point to, that the dead know nothing. And
yeah, that's right. The dead are dead until the day comes when we're all...
Right. So
So I understand that. But listen, it doesn't answer the question. The question then... would be, okay, what about all the Catholics and the Protestants? After all, they've got more money than some governments have, for God's sakes. Why wouldn't they be interested enough? Because it would bolster their case and fill the pews worldwide.
You would think so. And
yeah,
I always
yeah.
wondered what would be resurrected in the future. I mean, if you're that gone in some future resurrection, what are they resurrecting? Mm. Well, anyway, as in a prediction, I say that something is going to happen in Texas. I've been having this for about a month, and it's probably going to be very explosive fire, oil, that kind of thing.
Oil fire in Texas?
Yeah, big explosion. Yeah, and I would say in about a month or 2 months, so write that down.
I'm doing that. Why, out of curiosity, do you, how does this come to you?
Yeah, probably about a month ago, it was, it's hard to explain. It's sort of like seeing a kind of spiraling vortex on that part of the map, and the perception of that is very difficult to describe, but that's what I've been getting for about a month.
And, that's really interesting. A lot of psychics say that that's how they discern where these things are going to occur, you know, by looking at a map or running their hand over a map or whatever. It's very interesting.
Well, this is purely perceptual. It wasn't actually, you know, focalizing on a map. But
that's
anyway.
Fine. All right. Yes?
When are you going to have Nancy on?
I don't know. I had a message from her manager that she'd like to be on, and so we'll, you know, obviously send one back, say we'd love to have you. And
that'd be great.
You know, it's like nothing ever happens between the Christmas and the New Year, and New Year is when everything, the world comes to life again. Have you ever noticed?
Yeah, oh, sure, sure. And I, before I go here, I got to say that, you know, when I was about 9 or 10 and some velvet morning, I was just sure that I was going to marry Nancy, so I hope to talk to her when she gets on.
All right, well, all right, maybe. That is an interesting song, and there are many interpretations of it, and some of them are rather controversial, some velvet morning. It was made in the 60s. Lee Hazlewood is kind of an interesting guy. And what it's all about is indeed, I think, very controversial. And one of the questions we'll ask Nancy Sinatra, should we get her on? And by the way, Frank Jr., they wrote and said, oh, Frank Jr. is a big fan of the show as well. So you never know. Maybe he would even be willing to come on. That'll be fun. It'll be interesting and very, very controversial. It was the 60s, you know. And... there are certain questions that I have, but I would hold them for the interview. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I was going to predict that I was hoping that maybe there'd be a lot of Art Bell clones out there, but I don't think Ramona would let us. There's just not enough for you to go around.
I do not wish to be cloned. You know, I've actually thought it over.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't want to be cloned.
That's not fair to the rest of us out here.
Thank you.
I was going to tell you, I want to predict that I think Ed Daines, if he would take in remote view feelings, human emotion, in the way of love, instead of looking at a soul as light or energy.
Now, wait a minute. This is not sounding like a prediction.
I think it would be if he would remote view the feelings. I'll go so far to say that I predict that Ed Daines and his SciTech crew will remote view love as a feeling, and he'll break through the veil where he gets, where he says, like, angels won't let him pass.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm willing to do for you. I will ask Ed Daines specifically to remote view love. And let's see what he gets, all right?
Yeah,
let's not prejudice it by talking about it any further. Let's find out what he gets.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, because I think that's what we are. We're God's emotion.
All right. Very good. All right. Well, then maybe when Ed tackles the concept of love, some sudden veil will drop, and he will come back with some all-encompassing understanding and tell us all kinds of things. Sure, I'll ask him. You bet. Bust of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Let's start with a prediction that you bonked. Number two, nuclear explosion at the Arctic Circle.
Number two, explosion at Arctic Circle. Yes, sir.
There are two great hypernovas at plus 63 declination. One of them is the great star of Revelations 9. It had a...
I have no idea what you're talking about. There was no nuclear detonation at the Arctic Circle that I'm aware of.
Well, if you project that line outward into space, you hit two great stars.
Well, they didn't say project it out into space, though.
Okay.
Well, now, come on now. Let's be, stick with me here. They didn't say that. They said at the Arctic Circle, not on stars in a line with. That's a bonk.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go with my prediction.
Which is?
Beginning April 20th, 300 million dead from a Magog attack.
April 20th?
April 20th. April beginning then.
300 million dead, was that?
300 million dead from a Magog attack.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A Magog is a silicon-based life form.
Uh-huh.
It's a little parasite that lives in all of us.
And how will it kill us? It'll eat us probably from the inside out, huh?
When great stars explode, neutrinos come. And that's the energy source for this silicon-based life form.
So they go berserk and begin eating us alive, right?
Yeah, the gray goo problem.
Gray goo problem. They're eating us alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Well, that's right on up there with the dead rising and pounding the crap out of us. These things come alive within us and begin eating us up. Well, you guys are just really, really full of cheer for this next year's prediction. If it's a boring year, you're really going down in flames. Now, I'll admit, it doesn't look like it's going to be, but, I mean, some of these are dire. They're dire beyond all belief. You ever feel a little stirring in your stomach? That would be the creature he's talking about. Now, it doesn't have enough energy right now to begin eating. Can't do it, doesn't have enough energy, but you heard what he said about neutrinos, and it's feeding right now. So the next time you feel that little movement in your stomach, it's eating neutrinos. Soon you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
My best wishes to you for the season and for a good year.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I guess I have a prediction.
Good. It will be number 55 officially.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it is.
I predict that the administration, you know, the president and the vice president, will get caught up in a scandal involving Enron and other energy issues that devolved from that closed-door meeting that occurred way early in the beginnings of the administration.
Okay. Administration caught in scandal.
Energy scandal.
Energy. I'll put that in. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, it is duly recorded.
Thank you very much, Art.
Thank you, and take care. I wonder how many of these. Now, I really wish to, again, I'm going to try this one more time. Try your best not to call and make a prediction which is really a political statement, a political wish, or sort of a wish for something to happen. Like to Mr. Arafat. You know, try and truly go to your psychic center and make these predictions based on something other than some tertiary, small, surface influence like politics or somebody you hate or something like that. Try and make your prediction based on some sort of psychic insight. Otherwise, it's totally contaminated, and probably you're only calling up to be heard. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. This is Mark in Newport, Oregon.
Yes, Mark.
This might lighten you up a little bit. I predict that William Shatner will get the confidence to go do something without his toupee.
You're sure he has a toupee?
I would say so. Different movies, his hairline changes.
It could be. I could stand William Shatner totally bald. Why not? He'd be still cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
All right, thank you. I don't know if he has one or not. Toupee, huh? Maybe. Either way, I think if I was William Shatner and I was going bald, all this hypothetical, I would probably shave the rest of it off. And I think that would probably be pretty cool. Some people appear very well with no hair at all, bald. You know, it gives them a very special kind of character. So you might go for that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Okay, sir.
I got a prediction for you.
A prediction.
I believe that somewhere in northern Canada, a grizzly bear is going to wind up killing a Bigfoot, and the Game and Fish Department up there, in whatever province it's going to be, is going to find this out, and they're going to take the Bigfoot, capture it, the dead Bigfoot, and they're going to do some experiments on it, and they're going to come clean with the rest of the world and let us know that there is a such thing as a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. And the rest of the world will know that there is a, such a species.
But they're going to somehow get it alive after a bear either almost kills it? Or it kills it completely?
I think the grizzly bear will kill it. I think the grizzly bear will kill it dead. But once they once it has been captured, then they'll have to come clean. Cause,
well, all they'd have is a body, right?
Yeah, they would have the body of the Bigfoot. But the fight between the grizzly bear and the Bigfoot will cause so much noise and so much commotion that people from as much as a mile away will hear the commotion and they'll know there's some kind of major battle going on.
Huh. That's really something. This has come to you as some sort of vision, I take it?
Well, it was actually more of a dream, not really a vision.
You want to hear my Bigfoot?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's said to be the real McCoy by a lot of people. What do you think?
Possibly, very possibly. I'll tell you what, that's like nothing I've ever heard before. I know that much. Hey, Art, I was kind of wondering, how long have you been on the air? Because I've been listening to you for about 5 years now.
Pretty much all my adult life is a quick answer to your question, okay?
Okay.
The hour is over, so I must go. I'm Art Bell. Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
Top of the morning, everybody. We're doing our yearly predictions and sort of talking about some wild stuff that's going on right now. The Linda Moulton Howe report will repeat in a couple of hours, and that's one you really should listen to very, very carefully. So, all of that continues in a moment. Back into the shadows we go, and let us begin here. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, this is Stu from Reno, Nevada.
Yes,
listening to KKOH 780.
Yes, indeed. The home of Ross.
Yes.
Ross Mitchell.
Yes, indeed.
The voice of God.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Hey, my prediction is SETI at home.
Yes.
Will receive signals. Will receive signals other than Earth-made signals.
SETI at home gets hit. How about
that? Yeah, that's good.
Now, should it
SETI
be,
at home
it,
will get
it,
hit.
Should it be SETI at home gets hit or gets real hit?
Well, I think they're going to get some real hits. Some good hits.
Really?
Yes.
As in, we are being contacted.
Absolutely. It's about time.
Any idea where the lucky person will be who has that particular report?
You mean as far as home SETI users?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope it's me.
So you're crunching?
Oh, I crunch, and I got all my neighbors crunching.
All right, all right. Well, I hope it's you, too. I hope it's one of us.
Okay, one other thing?
Yes?
Art, I work in a beer warehouse. Working 410 shifts, and I want to thank you for making my nights fly by.
Oh, you're very welcome. A beer warehouse?
Yes.
So you sling beer around all day?
I used to drive for them, but now I load beer.
What's that like, loading that much beer?
Well, during the holidays, it can be very hectic. Long days.
Having that much beer pass through your hands?
Yes.
What's that like?
After a while, it's just like another box.
It's just like another box. Yeah, I got you. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's like asking a bank teller, what's it like having that much money? Even though it's not your money, you're laying hands on, you know, just zillions of dollars. What's it like? And, you know, it's kind of like most tellers will say, big deal. Just like more paper. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's Kathy from Woodbridge, New Jersey. How are you
Hi,
doing?
Kathy.
Having handled other people's money would really piss me off. That would not be the greatest job in the world. But, Art, I should have learned a long time ago when you said be careful when you play around with the weather.
That's right.
Oh, Art, I hope it wasn't me. I apologize, Buffalo. Ramona, listen to this one. I got out ye candles out 5 days before Christmas because I wanted myself a nice, fresh coat of nice white snow for Christmas.
Are you feeling responsible for what's happened to Buffalo?
Perhaps you listen to this and hear.
Yeah.
My neighbors know that I dabble with this and do these things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I got the candles out and got the compass and did all the what I thought were the right things.
Yes.
And the next day, I was talking to my neighbor. She says, by the way, did you notice that it snowed in Hawaii? I said, no, I didn't hear about that. So I went back the next night. Now it's 4 days before Christmas and got out the candles and did the same ritual. And I won't tell you what the ritual is. Most people know what it is. And I could have swore I had everything in the right direction. And then Buffalo happened. And we didn't get anything here in Woodbridge, New Jersey, in central New Jersey.
Oh,
nothing.
Oh.
And it just kept going. And now I'm wondering, should I get out the candles and say stop? Or... I saw this poor guy, Art.
You probably... you know what? With your record so far, you better quit.
I better quit.
I mean, you're liable to wipe out Westchester or something.
I wished for a kitten. I got, 2 weeks ago, a 23-pound spaded gray cat appeared. He's still here. He's beautiful. I don't know where he came from. Nobody seems to know whose cat he is, but he's now mine.
Yeah, a 23-pound kitten.
23-pound gray cat. Looks
Kathy,
just like the one in your website.
Your batting average.
You've got to stop.
You've got to stop. Thank you, Kathy. You've got to stop. Have you seen these photographs of Buffalo? 7 feet of snow. Good God, 7 feet of snow, and maybe more on the way. Hey, you know what? Somebody from Buffalo is never going to get through. So why don't I do this? One of y'all in Buffalo, blast me your phone number. I really would like to chat for a minute with somebody sitting in 7 feet of snow. I cannot fathom that. I mean, I remember big snowstorms when I was a kid. You know, Connecticut, New Jersey, but mostly up in Connecticut. You know, we had some doozers, but 7 feet of snow, that's really over the top in more ways than one. And so if somebody in Buffalo would fast blast me their phone number, I will call you, because obviously the odds of your being able to get through here are kind of slim. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Kayla from Harrisburg, Oregon.
Kayla?
Yeah.
Welcome to the program. How old are you, Kayla? You sound very young. How old?
13.
You're 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a prediction.
All right.
I have a prediction that terrorists are going to release smallpox somewhere in the United States.
Smallpox released, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Kayla, another cheerful little prediction. And you believe it'll happen within the year?
Yeah.
Huh. And what do you think will happen as a result of this release?
I think that a lot of people are going to get exposed to the smallpox and get sick. Yeah.
Okay, Kayla, thank you very much for your prediction. It's number 59.
Okay.
All right, thank you. That's got kind of an uncomfortable feel to it. You know why? Because the government keeps talking about it. Why have they spent so much time on smallpox? I can only figure it's because they think somehow we are particularly vulnerable to smallpox, or they know that somebody has their hands on smallpox. Or they have credible information that that somebody intends to do such a thing. And so, you know, hearing that from the mouth of a babe there, it's kind of uncomfortable. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is John down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Yes, hi, John.
I just had a quick observance, if you'd like to call it that, and then just a quick prediction, if that's okay.
Okay, observe first.
Last week my brother took a trip over to Jacksonville. He's going to just have a few weeks vacation, and he decided to take a Greyhound over there.
Right.
And he got his Greyhound ticket packet.
Right.
And he just went in and took the tickets and handed me the envelope that they came in, and the front of it just looks, it's normal. It's got a picture of the Greyhound logo on the front. And
yeah.
With his gate and time.
Yeah.
But you turn it over on the back,
yeah,
and half of the picture, three quarters of the picture, is covered with a dark gray skies and an open field with a huge silver flying saucer. With a button to the right, it says "Got News 1-800-COLLECT, save a buck or two."
Oh,
so maybe somebody's getting.
It's just an ad. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're using this sort of thing, yeah, to probably get us ready.
Yeah.
That's one way of looking at it.
And a quick prediction real quick. I had a pretty scary dream a few months ago. Mount Rainier, it's going to blow its top pretty nasty.
That was your dream?
Yes.
Every year somebody predicts Mount Rainier is going to go.
Yeah, and it was about 2 weeks before it started. I think it was back in March. It started having a little rumbling around the base of the volcano.
Yep.
And it was about 2 weeks before that, and I had the weird dream. I told my brother about it, and it just kind of really scared me. And then I've had the same dream a few times since then. It's just going to really, really get pretty bad.
Okay. Do your dreams have a habit of coming true?
The only other one that ever really did.
Yeah.
I was about 9 years old. This is about 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, if you only had one other one that came true,
yeah, well,
then
well,
that
I had a dream that there was a lady over in a Middle Eastern lady who was speaking to a group of people, and all of a sudden her best friends turned around and pulled out automatic weapons and killed her. And 2 days later, Indira Gandhi was murdered by her Sikh bodyguards. So it was kind of spooky. I didn't really understand it at the time until I explained it to my mother, and that was pretty bizarre.
All right, we'll all take it under advisement, and it has been officially recorded. That's the important thing. I mean, I know that some of these predictions really sound over the top, but You never know, a year from now. By now, if we have learned anything, I think we have learned nothing will much surprise us anymore. The world just gets stranger and stranger, right? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, this is Max from Globe, Arizona.
Hi, Max.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
I have a prediction.
Okay.
Between the 19th of January and the 23rd, the Beijing radio will be sold out.
Yeah, well, that's probably a fairly safe prediction. It might even happen before that.
Well, if I'm going to predict something, I want it to happen. I have one. I love it. And, in fact, I have the CC, too. Both of them are great radios.
Yeah, they are.
The
Beijing, it's an amazing, truly an amazing device, isn't it?
I'm listening to you from a station probably 400 miles away right now. I'm picking you up on 5 stations.
Really?
Yeah, and do you know about what they call orphans?
Yes, Seacrane Company, orphan program, yes, I know about it.
Should that be mentioned?
Probably not, because...
I didn't think so. I don't want to get a bunch of...
The reason I say probably not is because there's probably not enough to justify a sudden rush on requests.
No kidding.
If you follow me.
Yeah, that's what happened to me, and I was overjoyed.
I'm sure. I appreciate the plug, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Take care. I mean, I'd say there's a good chance that'll happen. They're almost sold out. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, am I?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Where are you?
New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Is this strictly for predictions or?
No. I mean.
Okay. I've got a little news story I want to bring to your attention and then a prediction.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Sherrod Bollert has just introduced something called the Cybersecurity Research and Development Act.
Sounds interesting.
It's to quell all these problems that people have been having, you know, with particularly one platform for the past 10, 15 years, right?
Yes.
They're going to spend about $500 million. That's how much is requested to do this so-called research, right?
Yes.
All the federal government's got to do, in my opinion, if they don't want those kinds of problems, is just to prohibit any sensitive facility from using Windows. That simple. Instead of bilking us for $500 million.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure that would cure it.
Oh, I'm
you
sure
know,
it would.
I'm not so sure it would. Not with really sophisticated means of hacking. I realize that there are some obvious holes there, but there are ways, sir, of hacking into computers that are operating in DOS, for God's sake. So
yeah, but that's still based on Microsoft and Intel. Not that I'm a Macintosh guy. I hate Macs as well. But
you have equal hate, huh?
Oh, yeah, they're both, yeah. I can't stand either platform.
Yeah, but hacking is going to happen no matter what.
There's a myth that there's no such thing as a secure platform, because you can make a platform secure. It's just, you know, it's like all these people that were... In fact, I was one of the guys that was writing to you saying Y2K is nonsense because the people claiming Y2K is going to be an issue don't understand how digital math takes place inside of a machine.
But, sir, you know, platforms are also designed, I would say, a primary directive of a platform would be the ease of operation for the operator. I mean, that's probably the first item they have. Security's there, but it's not right at the top of the list, right?
Yeah, but the two don't have to conflict. That's the thing.
Well, without platforms, we wouldn't have the number of computer users we have now. I mean, not even close. If everybody...
But that's not necessarily a good thing. The Internet was a lot more interesting back before AOL and everybody else got on. Granted, there wasn't as much nifty stuff, but if you went out there to ask a question on the newsgroups,
now
you
can
get a sane answer.
You can tell, sir, the Internet is beginning to mature when people are longing for the good old days of the Internet.
Oh, yeah. Yep. 1986. I miss it. Anyway, my prediction. My prediction. Okay, I'm saying this non-politically.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But it
That means you're about to make a political statement.
Well, it involves people that are related to prominent politicians.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to predict that there are going to be compromising photos, not pasties, but actual ones, of one of the first daughters is going to show up on the Internet somewhere. Because there's already been some. I hear there have been rewards put out for this kind of thing on the Internet, on some of these sites.
You know, that's disgusting. I mean, that means that internet paparazzis are going to be hounding the president's daughters, and that's crap. That's such crap. I'll put it down. I'll put it down as a prediction, and I sure hope that it's wrong. Why don't they leave Bush's daughters alone? They're teenagers, for God's sakes, and no different than any other teenagers anywhere around the country, except they happen to be the daughter of a president. You know, it's so unfair to them. You think about it. They're losing their teen years to their dad's presidency, in a way. Because what can they do without some idiot chasing them with a camera trying to get some sort of compromising photo? Imagine if somebody, when you were a teenager, come on now, remember back, if they chased you around, some idiot had chased you around with a camera waiting to see you necking with somebody or something or another. We live in a bad time in some ways. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, my name's Tim from Asheville, New York.
Yes, sir, welcome.
I'm about 60 miles southwest of Buffalo.
Oh, you are.
And in my front lawn is 3 inches of snow.
So you have a snow lawn, really?
Yes.
how much snow again?
3 inches.
3 inches.
That's total for this season.
Well, how do you figure, Buffalo must have really ticked off somebody high up. I mean, 7 feet of snow, sir?
The winds went the entire length of Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. Usually they come across Lake Erie.
Yeah.
And I'm in a traditional snow belt area, and usually we have more snow than Buffalo.
Well, can you imagine 7 feet?
I can imagine it, only imagine it.
I mean, that's up to 7 feet. That's like covering people's windows and stuff.
Yes. I have old photos of our home where the driveway has like 10 foot on each side.
That's a really serious storm. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate your call, and I'll check for some numbers in Buffalo here, and we'll talk to some people who are really under all 7 feet of this. Can you imagine? You're probably wondering who they ticked off up there.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001. Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 28, 2001.
Yes, indeed. Morning, everybody. We're doing predictions. We're talking about some incredible stuff. The predictions are awfully dark, but it's been a very dark year, so maybe we should expect that. I don't know. At any rate, we'll get back to all of it in a moment. All right, I got a million people from Buffalo who fast blasted me and were perfectly willing to talk about the snow. I chose Carol after one other brief conversation, which somehow got terminated. I then picked Carol, and she's, I think, in the outskirts of Buffalo or something or another. Is that right, Carol?
Yes, I'm on the northern part, which we got it continuously for about 3 days. It kept going back and forth between north and the south. It kept oscillating back and forth. And that's why it's such a deep snow this time, because it kept going back and forth and dumping off the lake.
It's really true that there are parts of Buffalo under 7 feet of snow?
Right, yes, because it's been accumulative. But that's mostly in, like, South Buffalo and down around the southern suburbs, West Seneca, Lackawanna, where there's a snow.
What in the world are people doing?
Having a good time. No. So mostly, it was, they went home from work early on Thursday, most people did, and then what happened was everything was closed. So as a result of vacation time, school being out, and less traffic, that type of thing, we ended up with less congestion as opposed to last year when it was just, oh, it was mayhem last year. But it just worked out better this year because of less traffic and people being able to pitch in and help. That's one thing it did bring out in people was the 9/11 effect.
Yeah, but this is like enough snow so that it's coming up to your windows or, you know, covering half your window or maybe your whole window or something. That's incredible.
Well, I know.
I mean, do you dig out? Do you open the door and start digging out?
Well, it's been accumulative, so we've been able to keep on top of it that way. So that it would snow for like a foot, 2 feet, 3 feet, and you snow plow and, you know, shovel and everything, and so that you keep on top of it that way so that when you open the door, it's not the 7 feet. It might be 2 or 3 feet, but then the next day some more falls and you clear that out so that the snow piles are maybe 10, 12 feet high sometimes because of having to pile it up and up, that type of thing, yeah.
They don't have snow like this up where the Eskimos come from.
I know.
It
helps to bring people together. You should see how people help each other.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure.
It's unbelievable.
I'm sure. That was one of the cardinal rules in Alaska, that you never pass anybody that needs help when you're in that kind of weather. You can't do that.
Oh, gosh. It's an experience. A friend of ours came from Florida, next-door neighbor, and he took and just to go skiing. And ironically, the ski area did get no snow at all, only maybe a couple of inches. Unbelievable. But now it's supposed to take and go down there for them for a couple of feet, but it's all this way from Florida to go skiing. No snow in the southern, real southern part of the state.
So is it a sunny forecast, or are they talking about more snow?
Another 1 to 2 feet.
Another 1 to 2 feet?
That's what they say, yeah. I'm supposed to oscillate back up here north again and then go back down south to the ski country and stay there.
What do you say to the people who are saying Buffalo has done something really bad and they are being punished from above for this?
No, I think it's just a test of our strength and our good-naturedness and our willing to help each other.
All right. Thank you, hon, for coming on the air. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Take care. All right. So there's a voice from down under. Down under 7 feet of snow with a couple more coming. That's absolutely amazing. And we're going to hear more stories like that as the weather becomes more severe all the way around, which it is barely doing right now. Aye, aye, aye. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hi. That's really strange. I think that was my sister that just called you. Or you got in contact with Carol in Buffalo?
You think that was your sister?
Absolutely. It sounded just like her.
Do you realize the odds of that?
That's pretty strange.
You really think that was your sister?
I really do.
How strongly do you believe that was your sister?
Oh, about 98%.
You're kidding.
Both my sisters live in Buffalo?
No, I mean about 98%.
Absolutely.
No, that would be a first. If you're really serious, I'll call her back. And we'll find out.
Could you do that?
Hell yeah, hold on. I can't resist. That would be too much. What are the odds against that? I don't believe it. Must not be. We'll find out. That would be too much for even me. Okay, let's see if we can get Carol back on the line here. This is too much.
Yeah, and where you're calling.
Yeah, I bet it is. But we know Carol's up.
Hello, Belle. I heard that on the phone, on the radio. I heard on the radio.
All right.
I didn't catch his name, though.
Well, I didn't get his name either, but he thinks that you're his sister.
Right, the brother. What state is he from? I have a brother in
Hold on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Caller? Your name again is, what's your first name?
Mark in Lima, Ohio.
Mark in Lima, Ohio?
Okay, I don't know of a market. I have a brother, John, in Florida, and a brother, Daniel, in California.
Oh, that's not her. Sorry, her.
Okay, there's been so much for 98%. Kathy, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. That would have been...
It would have been... Oh, I would love to...
That would have been really something. Thanks, hon.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. You're back on the air, sir.
All right. Well, anyway, I have a prediction.
Okay.
This kind of goes back to one of your previous callers. He said something about SETI.
Right.
I want to take that just a step further, and this kind of hangs in the balance of SETI going to optical SETI.
Yes.
During the year.
Yes.
If that happens, I think right away, as soon as they change over, we'll have contact, unbelievable contact, all over the place.
So all of a sudden, when SETI goes optical, you think that's where the signals really are, and they'll get their hit, kaboom, just like that.
Yeah, all over the place. I mean, they'll be overwhelmed.
Okay, let's say for the sake of argument that happens and SETI gets a sudden signal like that, sir. What do you think would happen? Would the world know right away, or would it be hidden away? You know, like in the movie, would the military show up, or what would happen if SETI went optical and suddenly they're all there?
Well, I don't think the military would have too much to say about it because it would be too overwhelming for them even to try to contain it.
So you think the world would immediately become aware?
Right.
And what do you think the implications of that would be?
I don't know. I don't know if this is a...
You think the world could handle it?
I think so. I think we're being prepared enough for it.
Uh-huh. Okay, I appreciate the call. I don't think so. Call me old-fashioned, but I disagree with you, and I think the world could not handle it. And if you had been sitting in the seat that I've been in for all these years and talked to as many fundamentalists as I have talked to, I think you would hold my opinion as well. Trust me when I tell you that a high enough percentage of the people who would receive this news would view these, whatever, as devils, as representatives of the dark force, and you just can't imagine what would happen. You just can't imagine. So I've always thought we are not ready. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Is it me? Hi.
You, hi. Yes.
I had a prediction.
Okay.
Regarding the beef industry and mad cow disease.
Okay.
Based on information that is already, intelligence already available.
Yes.
When the first case is finally confirmed, they will finally shut down the border across Mexico. They will establish a kind of bio DMZ 200 miles wide to contain it.
So you think that there'll be mad cow disease here and they'll close the border?
Yes,
or,
it may already be here.
Or I guess, all right, thank you. Or I guess you think in Mexico, and so they would close the border. Well, certainly they would take, if we've been very lucky so far with regard to mad cow, and very lucky. I suppose if it appeared south of us, we would take that step, wouldn't we? Countries have taken some pretty radical steps when confronted with mad cow. Very radical. So closing a border, that wouldn't be... too far over the top, would it? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
This is Joy from Syracuse, New York. No,
yes.
No snow here yet.
No snow.
But I asked my guys for a positive prediction for you, and they gave me one.
Okay.
I predict that this coming year, Art Bell will forge ahead and do more shows like the one he did for Rush Limbaugh. And I'm still waiting. I emailed you this after you did the show, and I'm still waiting patiently for a reply to that.
Are you aware that Rush Limbaugh has had a cochlear implant?
I did hear something
surgery done.
Something to that effect. I don't know the whole story.
Okay. Well, it's a very interesting story. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah, you said you were afraid. I predict you will not be afraid, and you will do some more.
No, I don't think afraid is exactly the right word. I'm mindful. I'm thoughtful. And I understand that we're on to something big. It's just that I don't understand it well enough to tamper around with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what Kathy and Woodbridge did to Buffalo. God.
I know. Well, I surround Syracuse every day with a triple protection of white light. I think other people can think about that.
All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. That's a big issue with me. I don't know if we'll do more or not. I'm not sure what's right to do. And it's been an amazing odyssey, this whole thing with these experiments. It's been a truly amazing odyssey. It kind of goes along in some ways with the information, you know, that we're getting from The Lancet and the bit about life after death and all the rest of it. Getting some pretty serious scientific proof in areas where we've never had it before on a lot of things. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Rick calling from Gilbert, Arizona.
Okay.
And my prediction for the year 2002, by the same time this year, or this coming year, the government's going to start a project called Project Dayspring.
Dayspring?
Dayspring.
Right.
And what this beginning project is going to go into a 10-year cycle and will ultimately end in the year 2012. Basically, what Project Dayspring is things are going to get so bad on the planet Earth that somebody's going to have to develop a nonviolent weapon, but one that has nanobot gas in it. And these nanobots are in a bomb form or aerosol form.
Designed to do what?
Basically designed to create a human 3D internet, if you will. Basically what will be for those who are survived after the Third World War. What it will be like a giant 3D holographic internet everybody to exist in.
Wait a moment. Does that mean that the Third World War is going to occur between now and the end of next year? That's not a small detail, if true.
That is uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to predicting the future.
But you just said that. It'll come after the Third World War, you said.
Right. We will develop it. Third World War will start by this year. The government itself will develop the Dayspring project, which will be a nanobot gas.
Yeah, I got that part.
And these nanobots will actually go into the atoms in your body, every single one.
Yes.
And basically convert those into a UFO, a starship of some sort.
What?
So that you could take every particle in your body. You can teleport anywhere in the world. At the same time, you're just an energy form.
Okay.
So in actuality, it would be...
It'd be a teleporter, really.
Right.
Okay.
And by 2012, everybody will basically be able to teleport by means of nanobot gas, and we will have eternal life.
I got it. All right, thank you. 2012, huh? Maybe that's why everything stops in 2012, because everybody's fed up with Earth and they teleport their butts to a better place. And so all of these psychics and remote viewers that hit this barrier at 2012, they hit it because there's nobody left. Everybody's teleported their butts somewhere better. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, this hotel?
It is, yes. You're in a truck someplace.
Yes, sir. I'm in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I have a prediction.
Yes.
My prediction is Al Gore is going to come up and reinvent the cheeseburger, and he's going to revolutionize the cheeseburger, and it's going to be environmental friendly.
Al Gore is going to revolutionize the cheeseburger?
Yes, it's going to be environmental friendly.
What?
And he's going to call it Slick Willy Sliders.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't putting that down. I didn't even start writing. Ha, 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 ha. Usually these guys who have these things that turn into jokes, you know, I don't officially record them. He just blew his chance to have a real prediction. You know, usually they sucker me and I'm writing, you know, Al Gore, this and that, and then I have to end up erasing it. I was on to this guy. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, yes, hello, Art.
How are you?
I'm not too bad. First, I have to ask you, do you write for last year's predictions? Do you write the names down with the prediction?
The people's names?
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not. I'm taking them on the air just the way you hear me taking them right now.
Okay.
So you don't hear me asking for people's names, right?
Yeah. I was just wondering, because mine was number 23 of last year.
23 would have been about another virus, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A virus or disease will attack the world.
Yeah, I dinged it.
Oh, great, great. See, the thing is, it started with, what, mad cow, foot and mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Now
no.
Chemo anthrax.
No, I gave it a ding, sir.
Okay.
You're one of the winners.
My prediction, what number am I for this?
Well, if you make one now, and
yep.
Don't joke with me, it'll be number 67.
Oh, I never joke with the Art.
Okay.
There will be terrorism in a major sporting event, baseball, football, maybe soccer.
Another cheery one.
Mm-hmm.
Terrorism in major sporting event. Now, coming from somebody who got a ding last year, this has got to be regarded very seriously.
And especially, I'm very good with sports, too. I barely ever lose in bets.
All right. Having predicted one correctly last year, being one of our winners, let me ask you, how do you, in what manner do you discern these events?
I would just like to, I'd like to think mostly a soccer game because it's more international.
No.
Oh.
No, I'm asking how you get these revelations. How they come to you?
I figure I have to have something good come towards me. I always talk to you and everyone about my bad luck. I figure this is my only good thing.
I see.
Things just come to me.
The one good thing in your life is the ability to predict, huh?
I can at times, yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate it then. Terrorism at a major sporting event. This coming year, I know that the obviously the U.S. government has been concerned about the possibility of terrorism at a sporting event. No question about that. You've seen the security, the air corridor, the air overflight restrictions, all the rest of it. So they are concerned about that, and rightly so. On my international line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Mr. Bell. My name is Marianne, and I'm phoning from New Zealand.
New Zealand, welcome.
Thank you. I have a couple of premonitions.
Okay.
Or whatever you want to call them. I actually sent you an email back on 25th of September stating a couple of premonitions that I had. And I know you get thousands of emails, so you probably didn't even see them. One of them happened, one of the things that I predicted then happened, and that was the plane that blew up that your government said was an accident, but it wasn't.
Which plane are you referring to?
This was the, I can't remember what date it happened. It was the one that was after the 9/11 tragedies.
The one that went down in New York? Oh, okay. And they said was an accident?
Yes.
And you're saying it was not?
It was not an accident. I actually sent you an email on the 25th of September
right,
saying
okay.
that was going to happen.
All right.
And that despite what the government said, it was not an accident.
All right. We don't have a lot of time, so do you have a...
Okay, the other one, there's two. One is that there's going to be a major earthquake in Japan or one of the close Asian countries. It will be 7.5 or higher on the Richter. It will cause extensive damage and loss of life, and with the probability that it will be followed by a tsunami.
Got you. All right. I'm so sorry we're out of time, but I got that. A major earthquake in Japan or in the Far East, and that means 7.5 or so. Got it. Number 68. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM in the nighttime.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 28th. 2001.
The end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always miss with
made it in some velvet morning when I'm strayed. Flowers growing on a hill, driving, driving daffodils, learn from us very much. Look at us, but do not touch.
Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. We're doing predictions for the year 2002. Officially recorded and numbered predictions. We'll do this through New Year's Eve, the end of New Year's Eve, and I will be here for New Year's Eve live, so hope you are too. If you haven't yet recorded your prediction, that will be your last opportunity. Into the unknown night we go. Somebody from Lackawanna, New York says, Conrad says, I believe the U.S. government is responsible for the 7 feet of snow in Buffalo. He thinks it's HAARP produced or some such. Now, that'd get your ire up, wouldn't it, if you were in Buffalo and somehow you found out that some little ray that they shot somewhere or another did it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you, please?
I'm in South Buffalo, New York.
You're in Buffalo, New York?
I'm in South Buffalo, where we got 7.5 feet.
7.5 feet. And I hear two more are in the forecast, huh?
Hopefully not.
They are saying that, though.
We have, like, no place to put it right now.
Yeah. What's it like?
What's it like?
Yeah.
It's like being stuck in a house for a couple days with nothing to do except see snow.
I can't complain.
You know, it's nice.
I mean, like, is it up to the windows?
My bay window upstairs, I can't see out of it.
You're kidding.
When I walk off my porch, I can just walk right across the other neighbor's porch. You can actually walk over car tops where I am.
Oh, my God. You can walk over car tops?
Oh, yeah. Some cars you can't even see anymore. They're so buried.
Oh, man.
It's actually, you know, it brings the community together, though.
I'm sure it does.
You know, neighbors you don't talk to all year long.
Yeah, you go, hey, you guys all right over there?
No, it's more like, hey, you got a snowblower over there?
You probably can't even get to a store to buy a snowblower, huh?
No. You're lucky you can get to the corner store to get groceries.
I hear you.
And there's actually nothing on the shelf there anymore either.
Wow.
Kind of like everybody's fending for themselves now.
If there are really, if 2 more feet come and there's 9 feet of snow, or 9.5 feet, I guess that would be.
Right.
It just seems to me all human activity more or less ceases.
For a few days here.
We got the
National Guard here now.
Yeah, I heard that. National Guard's arrived.
Because where I am, actually, the Olympic torch is coming down here New Year's Eve, right down our street. So we got the National Guard here. We got 20 dump trucks lying down the street. And we're just waiting to get plowed out.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. All right, sir, you have a prediction.
I think all the snow here is going to be melted by May.
I'm not recording that. You know it's going to melt.
No, but I just thought I'd call in.
Oh, well, hey, listen, thank you.
No problem.
All right, take care. So if you can't imagine it, there's a fellow who just told you all about it. His window upstairs mostly covered. Wow. It'd be like if you wanted to go anywhere, you would literally have to Well, I don't know how you'd get your door open, but if you did, you would then have to begin tunneling. I suppose you could tunnel out of a window. That's really something. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, James from Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
I think this is the year they're going to prove that the spirit is fluid. I think they're going to prove the soul is conduit in the blood.
Is in the blood?
Yes.
That's an interesting idea. Soul in the blood.
As it is fluid, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
And I think that it might explain, like, poltergeist activities in teenage girls and...
What about the lady I interviewed? They took all the blood out of her body.
And is still alive.
Well, there was something, obviously. They would have stored that blood immediately adjacent in the room.
I believe, you know, I can't leave the body. I've done that. Happened near death.
Well, you presented me with a new idea. The soul is fluid, and it's in the blood, in the totality of the blood. That's.
I also think that maybe it might explain, like, a wrong oil in a machine, like maybe mental retardation or other malformities of the body might have to do with blood types that can't carry the soul correctly. That's just a prediction that I have that will be proven this year.
We'll look forward to it, sir. It is officially recorded as number 69, and that's pretty interesting when you think about it. And he could be as correct as anybody else that the soul itself is fluid and in the totality of the blood. They always called it life blood, right? Well, that's a really interesting theory. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. I can barely hear you, so you're going to have to yell at me.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Where are you?
I'm Isabel, and I'm from Julian, California.
Okay. Gotcha now.
Okay. This is for you.
Oh.
And you will experience a, how would I say it, a humble wow.
I will experience a humble wow?
Well, it's like you'll go wow, but it's going to be humbling.
That's happened to me a few times already.
Yeah, well, this is, it's almost as if you're a gentle soul and your scope is going to widen. It's almost as if the veil is going to be thinning. So it's somewhat of in the realm of oneness or the seeing the part of you of where you fit in the big whole. But a lot of the guests that you've had, if you just had that experience, you could understand it a little bit more, what they're talking about.
Well, there is no question that over the years, the guests that I've had have profoundly affected me. You know, they have set me on a course of thinking that is very different than it was when I began this odyssey.
Right. This is different, though. This is your own by yourself.
Epiphany of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. But it's at a time that you're going to be taking, like planning a trip by air that's going to be canceled or changed. And then the next trip that you take, a business pleasure type of a trip, it'll happen at that time.
How does all this come to you?
I ask.
Good answer. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Number 70 is your prediction, and since that concerns me, that will be easy to rate next year. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Art. Hi, this is Jamie from the Coachella Valley, beautiful Coachella Valley in the city of La Quinta.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to talk to you about a couple things first before I make my prediction.
Okay.
And have you ever seen a sunburst? I was watching the NASA television TV, and they showed a little thing saying a sunburst in a picture, you know, how it, I guess, looks from space. And I started looking at it, and I see the sun coming up from the horizon of Earth, and what looked like a bunch of octagon rays, I would say, coming down towards, you know, Earth. and then followed what looks like an explosion.
No,
I don't. Light glare and
maybe,
light glare of light.
Maybe you're seeing a sunspot explode.
Yeah, well, it did say it before they showed it. It was a sunburst, that's what they called it, over the Pacific Ocean. And that, you know, it, the like the flash, you know, from a nuclear explosion, that's what I picked.
Well,
it.
I know this. I know that if you're out on the ocean, there is a phenomena that occurs at about sunset, just at the very moment that as you look at the very far horizon, and if it's very clear, just as the sun drops, the instant it drops below the sea level, you can see this incredible green flash sometimes,
exactly.
Every now and then. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was like a bunch of octagon rays coming.
Okay, the answer to your question is I have never experienced it, although I know what it is, and talked to plenty of people who have, so I know it's real.
It was really interesting to see. I was like, wow. And
yeah,
then at the end, they showed, after it cleared or whatever, they showed like this red dot.
Yep.
Towards her.
All right, anyway.
It was something else. And chemtrails. You know, you were talking to Whitney Strieber, I guess on December the 17th, I believe. And you talked to him saying that there was a bunch of activity going on over your area.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We only have a little time.
I experienced the same thing, and it was
weird. Sir, do you have a prediction?
Yes.
Good, go ahead.
I believe there is going to be a really heavy, I guess, sunburst.
A sunburst. Okay, thank you. We'll put a heavy burst from sun. That also is going to be fulfilled, I'm sure. The sun is going to have a wild year. And, you know, that probably means that all of us are going to have a wild year. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. My name's Fred.
Turn your radio off, please.
I turned it off.
Okay. Fred?
Yes.
And where are you, Fred?
Kinnick, Alaska.
Kinnick, Alaska. All right. Do you have 7 feet of snow in Kinnick?
No. Y'all got all our snow.
I know.
Ours has been melting off.
Yeah, I know. That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a prediction you'd like to make or an insight you'd like to impart?
Well, yes, I would.
Okay.
I believe that they're going to open up their minds and find a new technology very soon.
Who's they?
Well, our leaders are going to find it necessary to do it. Because this old oil game is just about to play out.
Well,
I've been in the oil field my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's a lot of politics and
uh-huh.
a bunch of game playing, you know, and there's not really a problem other than the problem that they make themselves, you know.
Well, there's going to be an interesting time. The man is right. This whole oil thing is going to play out shortly. Now, there's arguments about how many reserves we have. But there's very little argument about how quickly the world, and specifically, by the way, the U.S., is using oil. And it is a finite source. So all kinds of things are going to begin to happen, you know, as we begin to get short on oil. There will be wars over oil. Wars which we will no doubt participate in. I mean, oil, we must have it. And since they are not moving toward alternative fuels, there will be a series of very serious crisis-type events that will occur before we begin moving in that direction, because, of course, we operate by crisis. But it's coming. As sure as that sun comes up and goes down every day so far, it's coming. It's inevitable. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. How are you doing?
Okay.
Fantastic. I'll make my prediction quick, and it is dire.
Okay, well, join the crowd.
India and Pakistan go to war using nukes. China backs Pakistan against India.
Oh, no.
The Muslim world declares a holy war against the Christians, the Jews, and the Hindus. China and its allies, the Muslim world, versus basically the United States, its allies, NATO and Russia, so on and so forth, primarily because of the oil, seeing China's finally coming into the 21st century, or the 20th century, actually.
Yes, and they're going to need oil.
They're going to need oil, yes, sir.
Oh, sure. They're very industrial right now.
The problem, well, the good news is that the war will probably be over within 2 years, but the United States is finally going to break out some of their super-secret weapons, like your big flying triangles.
Yes.
And I've got a feeling those are earthbound flying, well, battleships, as you could call them, I guess.
They could be.
Yeah.
They could be. Nobody
and the other dire part of it, I think we're going to have some fighting here on the soil of the United States, which is going to change our attitudes.
Well, our attitudes just got one big adjustment at 9/11.
Yes, it did, and I think it's going to get a second one from this.
That's a pretty dire prediction, all right.
And then again, by the way, the Chinese have said that they're going to try to put a man on the moon, by the way. You did bonk one the other night.
The Chinese have announced they're going to do a moonshot?
Yeah, you said it. Matter of fact, I was listening to you one night.
Yeah, I'm looking back. You don't remember which one that was?
No, sir, I don't. It was one of your first ones, I believe.
And I bonked it. Let's see. Were they really? The Chinese were really serious about putting a man on the moon.
Yeah, and you. I think the statement you made was, "Why? We've already done it. There's nothing. Well, there's."
Yeah, here it is. Number 15. Another shot to the moon announced. So you're saying that's a ding, huh?
Yeah, the Chinese said they were going to try to do it.
All right. I'm dinging it.
Okay.
Thank you. And that would bring the record up a little bit. Yeah, you know, I sort of vaguely remember that. Okay, well, I appreciate the correction. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Bob from Newburg, Oregon.
Hello, Bob.
I got a good one for you.
Okay.
I think something's going to be happening to the moon in the coming year. And it's going to affect all of our tides and the water all around the world.
What do you imagine might happen?
Well, I kind of think that the rotation of the moon may increase. Right now, we only see one side as it rotates clear around us.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to start spinning on an axis or moving on an axis.
That probably would be very bad for us, yes. It would change all the tides and all kinds of strange effects would occur.
Yeah, it could change the weather real bad.
Werewolves would become the predominating species on Earth.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That would be bad. Any idea what might do that? I mean, it seems so stable right now.
It seems like maybe a meteor impact that was coming could hit it.
Yeah, that could do it.
Started spinning like a top.
That could do it. Yep.
But I don't see it spinning real fast. I think it's going to just go slow.
Yeah, well, it would still have a profound effect here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you. It's number 73.
Okay. Thank you, Art.
Take care. In the continuing march of truly dire predictions for the year 2000, I mean really dire, east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
How you doing, Art Bell?
Okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm headed into Texarkana, going westbound here on 30.
Gotcha. All right. Do you have a prediction for us?
I got a sports prediction for you.
A sports prediction. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to add to that Barry Sanders coming back and going to the Super Bowl.
Really?
I can't remember the number of it.
It was early on.
Yes, sir.
Returns and goes to Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was an earlier prediction on earlier in your show.
Yeah,
I think it was yesterday.
I remember.
Well, I would like to add to that.
Oh?
I would like to say Emmitt Smith breaks Walter Payton's record, and then Barry Sanders also breaks the record.
Now, is this a prediction or a wish and a hope or both?
No, it's a prediction.
It's a prediction. And how did this come to you?
Well, I kind of dreamed about it.
You dreamed about it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
After that guy said...
It wasn't like Jim Rome came to you in your sleep or something.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it was like that.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. So, Jim is roaming in the nighttime.
Na, 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 na. Hey,
segment of predictions directly ahead.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 28, 2001.
Now, I want you to go to your psychic center to get these predictions. Anybody telling jokes or anything like that, I'm not even going to record it because you're going to drag down our psychic average, and it's coming up in the world. Although you hate to think this year's coming predictions are going to be even half correct, because if they are, ooh my, it's going to be some year. I would say we're generally right on target for the number of predictions taken tonight and the number we will take on New Year's Eve itself. Just about dead on target for every year. Very good. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. That was silent. No click, no nothing.
Hey, modern technology.
Yes, nice to speak with you, Mr. Bell. I have two predictions.
Sure.
One involves the Clintons. I predict in the coming year that I would say enough controversy comes to light about Bill and Hillary, specifically Bill selling secrets to the Chinese, and which
please.
Is why their technology is going to enable them to go to the moon so easily. The other prediction is that you...
The wild thing at 775-727-1295. Now, most of the Rockies call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. Quite all right. You're just expressing your natural personal self, that's all. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just spiffy. How are you?
Well, very good. This is Dean in Tampa.
Yes.
Last year, in fact, I did two predictions on your Coast to Coast show. One was concerning Kashmir, and the other one was concerning life on Mars, where I was finding in the polar regions of Mars.
Were these officially recorded predictions?
Yes, sir.
And what numbers were they, please?
That I don't know, sir.
Well, I require numbers. I operate by numbers here, sir.
You've
got to remember the predictions that you... And so what about your predictions?
Well, yes, sir. Well, actually, this is I have two predictions for the...
No, you're not allowed to make two.
Okay, sir. Well, I'll just make one then.
You take your best shot.
Yes, sir. The situation with Enron, the company that the largest bankruptcy that ever had happened here in the United States.
Yes.
I think a lot more things will reverberate from that. I think a lot of people that should not have, had their hand in the till will actually come exposed. And not
okay, you're the second person then. Thank you very much. It'll be number 75 to say the administration will become mired in this Enron scandal in this coming year. So you're the second one with that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. How are you?
Okay.
I don't know if anyone said this yet or not, but Yasser Arafat will be completely removed from power.
Well, actually, there was a lady who predicted that he would be removed with total prejudice. Actually, she said he would be assassinated. That was prediction number 51.
Okay, mine will be he will be completely removed from power, but will not be assassinated.
So he'll just retire.
He'll be forced out of office.
By extremists?
By world powers will eventually come down on him, and he will eventually be forced to resign. Not by extremists, just by world pressure. Not only from Jerusalem,
who would you imagine would, in essence, replace Yasser? I mean, a lot of people think Yasser Arafat's nothing but a mouthpiece anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So would it make much difference, you know, in the big scheme of things, you know, the Palestinian struggle, the Israeli defense, and the fighting that would continue? Would it change anything if Yasser was no longer there?
No, I don't think it would change anything, honestly. And this has been debated quite a bit in the media as of today. I have heard that it really wouldn't make much of a difference if he was replaced or not.
I wouldn't think so, unless it's by somebody more radical, and then everything would go to hell.
Can I real quick tell you this. About 3 years ago, I used to work for U.S. Coast Guard, and I was patrolling off the coast of California.
Right.
And I went up to the bridge. It was about maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I went up to the bridge. All the guys were huddled around the radio, and I asked them what was going on, and they said that they were listening to this guy named Art Bell. I was like, well, what is an Art Bell? And
what
they said, well, just listen to this.
Uh-huh.
Well, this plane was flying over Area 51 and giving a step-by-step, you know, visualization of what was going on.
That's right, yes.
And his plane, he looked out his plane window and saw a bright light coming up at him.
That's right.
I was wondering, whatever happened after that? Did anything ever come out in the news? Was that a hoax?
We certainly don't know that it was a hoax at all. No, absolutely not. What came out of it? Let's see. We never heard from him again,
mm-hmm.
which you would expect, and there are no numbers you can call up there at Area 51 to ask about such
things. Sure.
Now, there was his girlfriend, or wife, I think it was a wife, and she was on her way, or was going to Area 51 to try and find him, nor have we ever heard from her again.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if it was a hoax, there was more than one involved. It was worked out very well indeed. You can either imagine it was a hoax or it wasn't. I don't know.
I see.
It certainly, you can depend on one thing. It sure as hell wasn't orchestrated by me or anybody for me or any of that baloney that people sometimes think. If it was a hoax,
I remember you telling them not to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, do I get a number out of this one?
That's not a prediction.
Ah.
That's a review of history.
Review of history.
Yeah. I mean, a prediction is something that you believe is going to come true in the year 2002.
Mm.
You got anything in that category?
Oh, geez.
Everybody's a little dark this year, so, I mean, if you want to predict disaster, that'd be okay.
Predict disaster.
Sure.
Okay. There will be a gigantic earthquake that will occur in the Seattle, Washington region this year.
Big earthquake in Seattle.
Gigantic earthquake. We're talking 8.5 and above.
Oh, well, that would level Seattle.
Oh, yes. They've been talking about that for a while, too.
Yep.
For that.
Yep. All right. So,
okay.
All right. I appreciate the prediction. It's right in line with everybody. This is going to be the darkest year of predictions in the history of taking predictions. Now, I guess that's not really a surprise after 9/11, right? People's, you know, psychology is a little bit different this year, but I mean, this is really over the top, no question about it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, promise you aren't going to think I'm nuts when I say this.
Well, I can't fully promise that. I'll make an effort.
Okay,
let's hear it.
The guy that talked about the blood being the carrier of the soul.
Oh, yes, yes. He said the soul was liquid.
Okay, well, think about this. A lot of times they're wondering how come ghosts are stuck to certain places, especially if they die violent deaths.
Right.
What if their blood was shed there and that's where they have to remain?
Wow.
Is that really all that far-fetched with what he said?
No, it's not far-fetched at all. If that's true, then what happens when the police forensic experts come and clean all the blood up?
Well, the blood was still... You can't ever eliminate totally the blood.
Yeah, that's true.
There's always a speck somewhere remaining.
You're quite correct. And in that speck is all the DNA.
Well, the ghost is stuck there. See, now you're laughing.
I'm not really laughing. That's sort of a considered laugh. I'm laughing because it's possible. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. It's something for people to think about. That the soul is liquid and is contained in the whole of the blood, or any part of the blood contains the soul. It certainly does contain your DNA information, right? It's one easy way to get DNA. Boy, you have blood, you have DNA. Boom, like that. So maybe. And maybe when you ask, where was Pam during that hour? Maybe she was in that vat over there where they were storing her blood. Watching. Lester the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
You had mentioned wanting something nice, so I was concentrating on something nice.
Yes.
And the words came into my head.
East of the Rockies, called toll-free, 1-800-825-5033.
There.
Okay, I would rather not air it. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Okay, but do you have another one?
No, that's the only thing that was coming. It kept coming.
Well, then, you know what? Let me put it this way. I personally highly appreciate what you said, and I hope you're absolutely right, okay?
Well, the other part of it...
No, don't give me the other part of it. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I already didn't air the first part, so the second part, you just know I wouldn't. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art Bell. This is Matt in Alaska.
Hello, Matt in Alaska. How you doing?
Yeah, weather up here in Wasilla, where I'm from, it's been negative 15 for the last month and a half until Christmas, and then it jumped up to about 40 degrees.
40 degrees?
Yep.
At Christmas?
Yep.
That must have been pretty ugly. I mean, at 40, stuff begins to melt, and it's like Mudville and...
Well, the ground's still so frozen that it can't thaw it out unless it stays that way for a month.
That's a strange Alaskan Christmas.
Well, it's probably HARP, but I predict the Mississippi River Delta is going to flood so bad. It's too bad, but...
Mississippi floods, huh?
Yep.
Well... I think there's a good chance that what you're saying is probably dead right. Thank you very much. It'll be number 78, Mississippi floods. And that would go with the increased weird weather we're having, all the weather that's upside down, wrong, and very violent. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art. How's your back been?
Pretty spiffy.
Pretty spiffy.
Yeah, like I traveled in time and went back to my old back, you know.
Oh, that's great. Hey, if I gave you the name Slacker Slayer, would you like to make a prediction? I've been emailing you.
I don't know. Do you want to make a prediction? That's what we're here for, so sure.
Okay. A new energy source that will completely eliminate nuclear, fossil fuels, solar, wind power, everything. It will all be a joke.
An energy source so powerful, so plentiful... That it just wipes everything off the map.
Yeah. There is no input whatsoever, and the only output is electricity.
Huh.
No pollution whatsoever. The only resources are the resources to construct it.
Mm, because you have designed it, right?
I have designed it.
I have
a patent right now. So it should be out here real soon.
Well, you know, my threshold of belief regarding this kind of thing is pretty high or pretty low, depending on how you look at it. I'd be satisfied with a toy that could demonstrate over unity. You know, a little Energizer bunny that could keep jumping around the room until the cows came home or whatever. Something like that at that scale, and you'll get me on board. That's all I need.
Power grid. Eliminate all power grids.
Well, see, that's thinking big.
Thinking big.
Yeah.
It's coming around this
but
year.
But all I want is a little toy. When can I get that?
We'll be working on it.
All right. A little thing that'll hop around until I'm tired of looking at it, all right?
Keep your TV running, anything you want.
Yeah, okay. These things just never happen, though. You hear so much about them, and they even have conventions where people take their secret boxes, you know, and they claim to have more output than input, and they take these secret black boxes, and they all put them on a table, and they all sort of rumor about and talk about each other's invention, and frankly, I don't think any of them have it yet. But you never know. You've got to always hold out the possibility that somewhere, somebody like that man really has done it. But I'll not be holding my breath. First,
hello
there. Turn your radio off.
Yeah, I turned it off. Please don't hang up. I'm trying for 3 months.
3 months you're trying to get in, huh?
Yes.
Okay, where are you?
I'm in LAX holding lot. LAX airport holding lot. I'm a cab driver.
A cab driver, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're on the air.
Am I on the air or what?
Yes, you're on the air.
Is this Art Bell by any chance or what is this?
I'm the only one here, sir. It's the only possibility. Only can reach me.
Oh, my God. Okay. How are you, Art Bell?
Okay. Now, make sure your radio's off and go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, let me roll my windows up so nobody will bother me here.
Well, I mean, if the fare comes, you're going to have to take it.
Okay, no. I'm not close to my fare. If I have to turn my fare down, turn my fare down, no problem.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I've been trying to get a prediction from yesterday. I couldn't get you. I mean, it's very hard to get you.
Yes, I understand that, sir, but now you have me, so it's time to make your prediction.
Okay, my prediction is in next year, there will be a dam is going to blast. Somewhere in India.
In India?
Yes.
Okay, a dam will be blasted.
It's called one of the biggest dam in India, which will flood India and Pakistan both. It has sufficient water to flood half of Pakistan and half of India.
Now that'll keep.
And there will be no nukes at all.
No news?
No nuke. No nuclear power will be used between India and Pakistan.
What part of the world are you from?
I'm from India.
India. Well, you know, we're hearing all this news now about India and Pakistan, both nuclear powers, threatening to go to war with each other. Very strong words, cutting back on the number of representatives in each other's countries, and both are saying they would use nuclear weapons. The Chinese are beginning to move troops. What do you think is going on?
If no nukes will be used either side, I believe no. This is just a threatening, that's all. But I believe, my strong belief is that my entire family was over there in Army and Air Forces.
Yes.
And I know that they will not use it against them because they all are same kind of people. They have same culture, same food, same dress, everything similar.
Well, there's one thing, though.
It is just the politics, you know, which is making these people fight amongst themselves, that's all.
Yes, but they've had three wars now.
They had two wars before, not three.
Okay, but
1955 and 1971.
Okay, and a third is threatened. And they do have nuclear weapons, after all. And if you do get in a war, if you really get in another war, then you tend to use whatever you have to win.
That is true, Art. That is very true, but... Like I said, I've been visualizing all this thing in my mind before September 11. Before September 11, I was having this thing in my mind. When the Kargil fight was between India and Pakistan, I have that thing.
All right. I've got it registered. Thank you very much. It's a dam that will be blasted in India, affecting or flooding large portions of both India and Pakistan. That would be interesting. Wild card line, you're on the air. Not a lot of time. Hello.
Okay, Art.
Yes.
My prediction is the next big earthquake will be in Finland. That'll be coming up around approximately February 11th. And also, the man who is sending the anthrax in the mail is already dead. Yeah, he probably had Cipro or other antibiotics, but he screwed up somehow. And I think that'll come out probably within the next...
You believe that... Yeah, but wouldn't we know that? In other words, his body...
No.
...would have been anthrax-laden, and wherever it was taken, it would be noticed.
It hasn't... They haven't found him yet. That's what I'm saying. So he hasn't been discovered. He's just laying there.
That's certainly possible. We know it was a military-grade anthrax, and it would be very, very dangerous to handle without becoming infected.
And he's in a very remote location. Also, I believe in the near future, Chandra Levy will be found, and I believe she's in Virginia.
You do?
Yes, definitely.
All of this comes to you in what manner?
Oh, I've been doing this for many, many years. You would call it clairvoyance, third eye visions, symbols, etc.
Do you do it professionally or just
no, not yet. Uh-huh. But I've had some pretty good hits, including the earthquake. Although I guess I could call it a hit from the 6.8. I had the numbers right on the 6.8. I was told my family members, et cetera, friends, it would be within 3 to 5 days.
All right. Well, look, we're short on time. 81 is your number. We'll watch for an earthquake in Finland, all right?
All right.
Thank you for the call. Take care. More predictions on Monday. I'm Art Bell.
Can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire?
From the high desert. Ta-ta.
America. And a kid without a cent.